Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Gimel, and we will begin on Daf Beis Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Amalei Ramasna Labayim. Yesterday we Baruch Hashem learned the first Mishnah of our Masechta Shabbos, and the Mishnah in discussing the halachas of carrying on Shabbos, of transferring from one rishus to another rishus, says the Shtaim Shen Arba. There are two cases where there is a chi of deraisam for the Ani, who's standing outside. Two cases where there's a chi of deraisa of carrying for the Balbayas, who's standing inside. Shen Arba, that totals to four, two more cases of the Rabbanon for the Ani, and two more cases of the Rabbanon for the Balbayas. Ask the Gemara for a total of eight. Amle Ramasna Abaya, so Ramasna asked Abaya, Hatamni Havyan. As we just mentioned, our Mishnah holds that there's eight cases, and again, let's review what they are. One is that the Ani doing Hatzah and Achnasa. Two are that the Baal Bayis is doing Hatzah and Achnasa. And then the Mishnah continued discussing where the Ani did an Akira from the Rishus HaYochid to the Rishus Rabim without the Hanocha, or vice versa. So, ask the Gemara, we should really have Tamnin Tratisarva Havin. We should really have 12, because we only spoke of cases where they did an Akira, and Yechai Medrabon for doing Akira without Hanocha. But there are other cases where you did the Hanocha and not the Akira, which were also Asamad Rabbanim. Says the Gemara, Ulatameich, let's think about this, asked the Gemara. Once we're already asking this question, there's a much more fundamental question to ask. The more fundamental question to ask is, Shitzrin Hava, because there are really 16 cases. Why are there 16 cases? Because there are cases where the Ani does nothing, he just stands there, and the Baal Bayis does the Kira and the Hanocha, or vice versa, where the Baal Bayis stands there, and the Ani does the Kira and Hanocha. So why aren't those cases mentioned? To which Ramasna responds, Holoi Kasha, that's not a question. Bishlam Baba Dereisha, the cases where it's Potter, Aval Osur, that I understand why it's mentioned. Potter umutar loktani. But we're not speaking about cases where there's no Isser involved at all. El above the Sefer, the cases that we mentioned at the beginning of the Shir, where there is Potter umutar, Potter avalosar, because one did the Akira and the other one did the Anocho, or vice versa, Kasha, the Pata Avalosar, that these are circumstances where it's Pata Avalosar, we have a question, why aren't all of those cases mentioned in the Mishnah? So the Gemara is saying now that in a case where the Ani did the entire Akira of Anocha, the Baal Bayis is Pater Mutter. Why is he Pater Mutter? Because he didn't do anything. Ask Tosfos, but why isn't it still Osir? Because of the Isser of Lifnei Ivel, Lisete Michsho. He's creating a situation where the Ani could do the Avera. And if he's creating a situation where the Ani could do the Avera by giving him the food that he's going to take from one place to the other, that should also be considered an Avera. So first Tosfos wants to say that we're referring to an Ani that's an Akum. And since we're referring to an Ani that's an Akum, who may carry on Shabbos, there is no issue of Lifnei Iver. It's a very difficult teretz. It's difficult to explain that the Ani of our Mishnah is referring to a non-Jew. So therefore, the Tosfos Yeshanim says, absolutely, there is indeed an issue of Lifnei Iver, or Mesayeya, as we'll discuss in a moment, in this situation. But that's not the focus of our Mishnah. The focus of our Mishnah is Hilchos Shabbos, not Hilchos Lifnei Iver, which is, of course, a very difficult answer, asks Rabbi Kivega. What's the nafgamina why something is Osir? If it's Osir because of Hilchos Shabbos, or it's Osir because of Lifnei Iver. If it's Osir, it's Osir. So Rabbi Kiva answers that there's a rule, B'chol HaTorah Kula, that Mumer L'Chaver Echad, just because somebody is a Mumer in one area of Halacha, doesn't make him a Mumer L'Chol HaTorah Kula, doesn't make him a Mumer in all other areas of Halacha. But that rule, says Rabbi Kiva Eger, was only said by all Averis. But somebody who's a Mumer L'Chol Shabbos, then he's considered a mumel chalatar kula. And therefore, says Rabbi Kivega, we know the halach is that if somebody is a mumer l'chal Shabbos b'feresya, you're not allowed to eat from a shechita. So now we understand our Mishnah. Yes, of course, the balabayis, says Rabbi Kivega, says Tosfos, may not facilitate that the oni should be m'chal Shabbos. But the question is, what kind of a mumer? But he's not going to be considered a mumer for Chilul Shabbos because he himself was a mechal Shabbos, and it's important to know that he's not a mumer Chilul Shabbos because if he's a mumer Chilul Shabbos, as we just said, he will be considered a mumer Chol Torah Kula. Whereas if he's not a mumer for Chilul Shabbos, he's not mumer Chol Torah Kula. But here we learned the iser of Lifnei Iver. One person is not allowed to facilitate another person to do an Avera. And as all the Rishonim explain, when we speak about the Isser Lifnei Iver, there are two categories. There's a category of Lifnei Iver, where if not for my helping this person do the Avera, he can never do the Avera. That's called Trei Aver D'Nahara. If not for me, the Nazir can never get wine. So by me giving him the wine, I'm over Lifnei Iver. And then there's a different concept of a Mesayeya. The concept of a Mesayeya is where I help the person do the Avera, but he could have done the Avera even without me. And the Achroinim make a very important distinction. Besides that, the obvious distinction, that Lifnei Iver is an Issa D'Raisa, and Mesayeya is Issa D'Rabbanan, there's a number of nafkaminas in Halacha. There's another very important nafkamina in Halacha between a Mesayeya and Lifnei Iver. Mesayeya, the Ksav Sofer, the Binyan Tzion, say is only B'Shas Avera. Is as the person's doing the Avera, which is actually the case of our Mishnah, where the Balbayis is actually, as we say, facilitating that the Oni should be able to carry. That's the situation of Mesayeya. But if it's not at the exact time of the Avera, that's not called a Mesayeya. The Binyan Tzion discusses a Shaila where somebody had a sefer to print, and he gives it to a print shop that unfortunately has Jews who are Mechalei Shabbos who work there. So you're allowed to give your sefer to be printed there, you're a Mesayeya, because by you giving him the sefer, Jews will work on Shabbos, says the Binyan Tzion, that you may. Because when you're giving them the sefer to print, you're giving it to them obviously during the week, that isn't considered Mesayeya. Mesayeya is only B'Shas Avera, and here you gave it on before Shabbos. Or the Shaila of Tshuvos Meshiv Dover discusses a situation where somebody wants to be a shatchan, wants to be a matchmaker between two Jews who are not religious, and they're not going to follow Hilchos Taras HaMishpacha. May you be a matchmaker to such a couple. So he says, yes, because this couple can meet people without you, so it's not a Lifnei Iver, it's only a Mesayeya. And since, he explains, when you're doing the match, they're not violating Hilchos Taras HaMishpacha, that isn't considered Mesayeya. The Masham similarly discusses, may you rent an apartment to someone who's not religious, and he's going to be Mechal Shabbos in your apartment. So isn't that considered a Mesayeya, that you're helping him be Mechal Shabbos? And again, says the Marsham, similar svar that we've been discussing, that's not considered a Masayaya, because when you rented the apartment, he wasn't being Mechal Shabbos. The Sefer Cheshuke Chemed has a number of discussion shilas around such a situation. He discusses a shaila that takes place in Israel, where there's a army base which allows people to enter the army base on Shabbos to daven b'tzibah, tefillah b'tzibah, to daven with a minyan. But there's a electric door to that army base, and when the people approach the army base, the soldier in charge, the Jewish soldier in Israel, who's in charge of the army base, opens up the gate. So by me coming here to this army base, I'm causing him to be to daven, I'm causing him to be Mechal Shabbos. So he says that this is not considered Lifnei Iver, because he isn't telling the army soldier to open, and since he's not telling him to open the gate, or maybe because he also includes that there's a way of entering the base without going through that main gate, so he doesn't want to consider it Lifnei Iver. Rav Moshe has a tshuva, and the Shas tshuva's are Igros Moshe Aruchaim Chel Gimel Sim Mem Gimel, where there's a seabird, there's a seabird that rents a hall to daven on Shabbos, and the owner of the hall, who's Jewish, every Shabbos closes the lights after the people finish davening, and the question is that considered Lifnei Iver? And Rav Moshe says that even though if we won't daven there, this person is not a Shem Shabbos, and he'll be Mechal Shabbos anyway, we shouldn't create a situation to make that he's doing Chil Shabbos because of us. Rav Moshe does begin to consider if there's no other place to daven, would we be allowed to rent that place? Another discussion is if in the United States this is less of an issue, but maybe in Israel it's more of an issue, where you order something and it's going to be delivered on Shabbos, and the person who's delivering it is a Jew, and after they leave the package, so we're not obviously referring to a situation that if you receive the package, you have to sign for it. Obviously, we're not allowed to sign for packages on Shabbos. But let's say the delivery man has to mark, has to write, or he has to put something into the computer that he completed his delivery. May you allow something to be delivered on Shabbos when you know that the person is going to deliver it is going to be Mechal Shabbos because of you? And it's not so poshut. The only one of the heterim, however, in all of these shilas is that the shach in Yerideya, Simen Kuf Nun Aleph Sif Katan Vav, says that by a mumer, there is no isser of Lifnei Iver, and certainly no isser Masayaya. The question is, it's very complicated how to determine who actually falls into the category of a mumer. Rabbi Yashiv was asked a similar question. Rav Elsher was asked a question where there's a person who's a secretary in a business, and this person, part of her job is to serve food to guests who come to meetings. And the guests who come to meeting aren't careful in making brachas. And the question is, how could she serve them food when she knows she's serving them food and they're not going to make a bracha? And the halacha is that Rabbi Yashiv says the only heter that he's able to come up with is the heter that we keep on repeating, the heter of Lifnei Iver, of a mumer, that there is no issa mumer, there is no issa Lifnei Iver by a mumer. Rav Moshe in a tshuva in Yerideya, Chelek Aleph Simen Gimel, says that we have to be very careful never to create a situation that one should do an Isser that he's not allowed to do. And any time we interact with somebody who's not religious, we have to be careful that our actions should not cause that person to do something he's not allowed to do. You're not allowed to call a doctor with a non-religious doctor. You have to be careful that you shouldn't cause the non-religious doctor who's not careful with Hilchos Shabbos to be over Hilchos Shabbos. Back to our Gemara, back to Masechta Shabbos. So our Gemara said that in the cases where the Ani doesn't do not the Akira, not the Hanocha, the Balabayas does not the Akira, not the Hanocha, there is no Isser, it's Potter Mutter, it's completely Mutter. Again, without going into the issue of Naiva Mesayaya. Ask the Gemara, but me Ika, the Kula Shabbos Potter Mutter, can we indeed say that when there's a situation that the Mishnah calls Potter, it means Potter Mutter? Vamashmul, Shmuel taught us the Kalpaturi de Shabbos, that whenever we find in Masech de Shabbos the word Potter, we should understand that it means Potter Avalasar, that it's Potter Midaraisa, but it's Osam Midrabanan, Bar Mahani Tlas, except for three situations that are Potter or Mutter. Say the Tzvi, trapping a deer. So what is the situation of trapping a deer where there was a deer in a house and there was somebody sitting at the entrance of the house? So the deer was already considered caught because the deer cannot leave the house. And now I sat down next to that person. So I didn't do anything wrong because the deer is already trapped. Now when that first person walks away, I didn't do anything wrong because when I sat down, it wasn't a Maisa Tzeda. Or similarly, says the Ramban, let's say the deer was tied in the house. So since the deer was tied up in the house, when I sit down at the door, I didn't do any Aveira because the deer couldn't go anywhere anyway because it's tied up. Now the deer is untied. And the only reason now the deer is considered caught is because I'm sitting there. Still, the halacha is that I didn't do anything wrong. Because when I sat down, I was perfectly permissible for me to sit down, and that's why it's considered potter mutter. The next case is tzedas nachash, capturing a snake. So again, as Tosfos points out, we're not referring here to a situation of sakanas nefashos. If it's a situation of sakanas nefashos, as we're going to learn many times in Mitzvah Shem in our Masechta, for sakanas nefashos, everything is permitted. So that's not the situation here. But I'm catching the snake not because I want the snake. I just don't want the snake here. It's obviously not something you want. And we're going to learn in this Masechta, the opinion of Rav Shimon is going to come up quite often in our Masechta, that says, a melacha she'en tzricha legufa, something that I don't really want, the positive outcome, is not considered a melacha, according to Rav Shimon. So here too, I'm not interested in having the snake. I just want to get rid of the snake that's a nuisance. And that's why it's considered a melacha she'en tzricha legufa. And the halacha is that since it's a melacha, it's mutter. The similar case is mappis mursa. Mappis mursa, if somebody has a boil and he wants to open it up so that the pus should be able to come out. So normally, if you make an opening, there's an issue of boina. I'm building a door. I'm building an entrance, an exit. Here, I'm not interested in this being permanently open. I'm not interested in making a hole in my body altogether. The only reason I'm doing it is because I need to get rid of the pus. And that's why this too is considered a melacha she'en tzricha legufa. However, the Rishonim do point out that let's say for whatever reason this person is interested in keeping that pus opening there permanently, that would indeed maybe be usur, because I made a permanent opening, which may be isim boina. But what have we learned? That Shmuel said that the only time in Hilchos Shabbos we use the concept that we say that the Mishnah Gemara said the word potter, it means potter or mutter, are these three cases. Everywhere else, potter means potter aval asur. So ask the Gemara, how could you suggest that this case that we're speaking about in our Mishnah, where the Ani did the entire Kirav HaNocha, the Baal Bais did that Kirav HaNocha, the other one, is when it says potter, means potter and mutter. Answers the Gemara, Ki Itzrich Shmuel, when did Shmuel have to tell us that although it uses the words potter, it means potter and mutter, in a situation, Peturei the Kavod Maisa, where an action was being done. I opened up the hole, I made a hole to have the pus exit, or etc. Peturei de la Kavod Maisa, however, where there's no mice involved, Iketuva, where it's potter and mice, mutter. Even though, point out the Achroinim, that in our Mishnah, the Baal Bayis is not just sitting there, he's facilitating, but that facilitating is not in the Malacha of Otzah. That facilitating is just helping the Ani do what he's doing, but he's not doing any Malacha. And since he's not doing any Malacha, it's not considered that's not considered the Maisa, and of course their Potter can mean Potter or Mutter. Become okay, says the Gemara, okay. So for the situations where the Ani or the Baal Bayis do neither Nakira nor Anacha, why they shouldn't be considered cases for which there is a Chiv and Shabbos, we've been able to come up with an answer. However, there's still Tati Sarin. If we count, there are the four cases of Daraisa, where the Ani did it Hitzav Achnasa. The Baal Bayis did a Tzav Achnasa. But then there are eight more cases, not just four more cases, where the Ani did Akira or Hanocha, or the Baal Bayis did Akira or Hanocha. Answers the Gemara, Ptur de Osbel de Chiv Chattis, a situation where they could come to Chiv Chattis, Kachoshev. That is what our Mishnah teaches us. The Loi Osbel de Chiv Chattis, but where you can't come to Chiv Chattis, Loi Kachoshev. Our Mishnah doesn't count. So the simplest pshat, which is the pshat that Rashi learns, is that our Mishnah only refers to Akiris, because by an Akira, you could ultimately also perhaps do the Hanocha. And since you could end up doing the Hanocha, not just the Akira, and if one will do both Akira and Hanocha, he'll be Chayiv Chatos, Habichayev for Melech Shabbos. So therefore our Mishnah mentions that those cases when it speaks about Isurim. However, the individual only did the Hanocha. He can never come to Chiv Chattis. Why can't he come to Chiv Chattis? Because he didn't do Akira. And as we already discussed in our previous year, to be Chayev for the Melechus Haitzah, you could only be chayiv for the melechus haitzah if you did both an akira and the hanocha. So the individual that did a hanocha, you can't go backwards and do the akira afterwards. So that person can't come to chayiv chattis. That person isn't mentioned in our Mishnah. Rashi, however, quotes Rabbeisov. Rashi quotes his Rebbe, his Rebbeim, and who say a different pshat in explaining what does it mean when somebody could come to Chiv Chattis. So Rashi says, they held like this. The definition of an act that could come to Chiv Chattis refers to the act of extending the hand, whether full or empty, into the other Rishus. That is what is Haitzah. Whereas, when the person's hand is empty, whereas when you're not moving your hand into another Rishus, that isn't what our Mishnah speaks about. There are Rishonim that say just the opposite, that we're only referring to the Hanocha and not to the Akira. Why are we only referring to the Hanocha and not to the Akira? Because the Hanocha is what completes the Maisa Melacha. So our Mishnah only refers to what is the Gemar, what makes it into a full-fledged Melacha. The Akira alone doesn't make it into a full-fledged Melacha. And therefore it's not mentioned in our Mishnah. Ask the Gemara. But we clearly learned in our Mishnah that if the Melacha was done by two people, by the Ani and the Baal Bayis, one doing the Akira and one do the Hanocha, they're not going to be Chayiv. Ask the Gemara, I don't know, but maybe they should be Chayiv. Was Avda Melacha Bibenayu. Together, they should be Chayiv because between the two of them, the Melacha was done. So Tosfos explains that since, and this is very much connected to the Pshatim that we just learned, since the second person did the Melacha, he finished off the Melacha, so he should be Chayiv. However, most Mefarshim explain the Gemara's question is not that the first person should be Chayiv, not that the second person should be Chayiv, but that they should be Chayiv between the two of them. Since between the two of them, the entire Melacha was done, so therefore, between the two of them, they should be Chayiv Karmachatis. And of course, as the Pnei Yeshua and the Sfas Emes point out, if we're going to learn this Pshat, of course, it's only a question, the Gemara's question, and we'll see that from the Gemara's Teretz as well, is only in a situation of Shogeg. We can't assume that two people should be Chayiv Misa jointly. But of carbon that can be brought by two people bringing that carbon in partnership, the Gemara's question is, why are we saying that he's potter? They should bring the karmachatas together. Answers the Gemara, Tanya. The Pasuk, Rabbi Omer, the Pasuk that describes the chiyuv chatas when somebody does an aveir b'shogeg, so the Torah uses the words ma'amararet ba'asoysa to teach us ha'oysas kula. Only if somebody does an entire aveira is there a chiyuv v'loy ois mektasa. But if you only do partial aveira, you're not chayiv. Yochet v'asa oysoy chayiv. If an individual does aveira alone, then he's chayiv chatas. Shnayim v'asa oysoy. But if two people do an aveira jointly, they're part from karmen chatas. And indeed, says the Gemara Itmanami, we learned, Omer Rabchiyah ba'agamda, Nizrku bin pi chabura v'amru. And as Rashi explains in Masechta Pesachim, when we have the wording Nizruka Mipi Chaburu, means that everybody agreed to this halacha. Ba'soysa, the Torah in the Parashas of Chata says the word ba'soysa to teach us Yochach Asoy Chayiv. And if an individual does an aveira by himself, he's Chayiv. Shnayim Shasu Pturim. But if two people do an aveira together, they're not Chayiv Karbachatas. However, when does this halacha apply? If both people who participated doing the Aveira, both Gedolim, both adults who are B'nai Chiyiv. But if, let's say, one of them who did the Aveira is a Gadol, and one of them who does the Aveira is a Katan. So there, only then the Gadol will be Chayiv Karmachatis, because we don't count the act of the Katan. Which really opens up a different discussion. What does that mean? Does that mean only if the Gadol could have done the Aveira by himself, and therefore we don't count the participation of the Katan? But what about halacha that the Gadol, we have a Gadol and a Katan, but the Gadol could have never accomplished doing the Aveira? It was a very heavy package using the examples of our Gemara. That the Gadol could have never carried by himself. So the Katan helped him. So on one hand, he's a Katan. And as we just learned, the activity of a Katan doesn't count. On the other hand, an argument can be made that without the Katan, the Gadol could have never done this. And therefore, perhaps there, even though the Gadol's partner was a Katan, but since he could have never done the Aveira by himself, that he won't be Chayiv if the partner was a Katan. Baimine Rab Mi Rebbe. So now the Gemara begins another question. If somebody standing and I put on that person food, drink, it doesn't make difference, food or drink. That's the example that the Gemara gives, Rashi says. And then Ivoitzin Luchutz. And then he walks out. He's standing with Shusha Yochid. You put different items on him, and then he walks out. So as we keep on repeating, in order to be chai for Melechus Hotzor, there needs to be an Akira and Hanocha. Is this considered that there was an Akira Hanocha? Do we say Akira's Gufoy, the fact that he began walking, is considered Kakira's Chayfetz from Koyme Damei, and therefore he's chayif? Adilma, that's not considered an Akira. And the same question will come regarding the Hanocha. When he stops, do we say that his stopping, even though he didn't take the objects off his body, is considered a Hanocha? Or it's not considered an Hanocha until those objects were actually put on the floor? It's an issue that we discuss in our previous year as well. Amalei, to which he responded, Chayiv. This is considered a Maisa Akira. Vayna doim liyodoi. And we can't compare it to his hand. We learned in our Mishnah that if the Baal Bayis put something into the hand of the Oni, the Oni is standing outside, the Baal Bayis is standing inside, and the Baal Bayis puts the object into the Oni's hand, and then the Oni takes it into where he's standing, the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So there was an Akira of the hand of the Oni from the Rosh Hashanah Yochid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. That isn't considered a Maisa Akira. Because, as the Gemara says, we can't compare the body to the hand. Amalei chayiv. Ve'enedoy meliyodoy. Mai tama gufa nayich. A body could be considered in a state of rest. And then when it commences to walk, that's considered a Maisa Akira. Yodoy, however, a hand is not considered to be in a state of rest. And since the hand is not considered to be in a state of rest, that's why it's not considered that when the hand begins to move, that you did a Maisa, that you did a Maisa Akira. Omer of Chibel Rav, Bach Persi. So he said to him, you're a choshva person, you're the son of great people. Lo yaminoach, haven't I told you? Kikai Rebbe, Baha Masechta. If Rebbe's learning one Masechta, lo tishalei be Masechta Achrita. You shouldn't ask him in another Masechta. Dimalav adatei. Maybe he won't be paying attention. Dilav the Rebbe Gavu Rabbahu. If not for the fact that Rebbe was a great person, kesafti. You might have embarrassed him. The Mishanalach shnui delav shnuya. He might have given you an incorrect answer. However, says Rav Chiya, Hashtamiyas Shapi Mishanalach. He did answer you properly, the Tanya, because indeed the Braisa teaches us, Hayaton Eichle Mashkin Bajoim. If somebody is carrying or wearing different items, and then Vetzin Lechutz Meshech Shecha, and then he begins to walk from the Shusha Yochid to the Shusha Rabbim after Shabbos began, Chayiv. Because you can't compare, as we just explained, lefeish ein doima liyodai. And Tosfos points out that the case that this brisa must be referring to is that the person came to a full stop before Shabbos, and then afterwards he began walking after Shabbos began from the Shusha Yochid Rosh Hashanah Rabbim carrying these items. But if the person was in continuous motion from before Shabbos, and like that, he was continuously walking, and then he walked out from the Shusha Yochid to Shusha Rabbim on Shabbos, so the Akira wasn't done on Shabbos. And if the Akira wasn't done on Shabbos, that's not considered a Maisa Akira. The Gemara, however, did teach us here an important halacha, that when you're learning one Masechta, you shouldn't ask the Rav about something else. So the Har Tzvi asks, how do we understand this Gemara? The Gemara is saying, don't embarrass the Rebbe. You're worried about the Rebbe that he may not answer properly. Ask the Har Tzvi, there's a much bigger concern. If the Rebbe isn't able to answer the question properly, you may end up with the wrong answer. you may end up with Chilul Shabbos. So the Har Tzvi says, and the concern here is not that the Rebbe won't give the right answer. Because if the Rebbe doesn't know the answer, he won't answer. And if he answers, he's going to answer properly. Talmid Chacham have siyata d'shmaya that they're going to answer properly. The concern of Reb Chiya and Al Gemara is that don't ask him to explain his answer. Because unless the Rebbe is in that sugya, he doesn't have the ability to properly explain all of the depths of all of the reasoning behind his psak. It's also interesting to point out that the halacha is shloshim yom kodem l'chag, 30 days before Sukkot, 30 days before Pesach. A rav is supposed to be familiar with all of the shailos that come up in that season, and that's not considered a time when he's not in that sugya. Actually, based on the Har Tzvi, similarly, the halach is Shabbos is all the time. Every 7 days we have a Shabbos. And therefore the Paiskim say, you can ask a Rav Hilcha Shabbos all the time. Because it's always the time of Shabbos. Shabbos is coming every week. The only thing you may not ask a Rav, if he's not actually studying Hilcha Shabbos right now, are the reasoning behind this psak that he makes about Hilcha Shabbos. And Rav Shaul Salanta says there's an important lesson to be learned from our Gemara. He says the lesson that we have to learn from our Gemara is that people think we're learning Torah, we're doing a mitzvah. That's all that we should be concerned with. It teaches us the Gemara, that why you're learning Torah, why you're asking shailos in halacha. You also have to be concerned about the other person and that the other person shouldn't be embarrassed. That has to be part of our mindset and the way we always interact with other people, no matter in what subject we're interacting with them. Amar Abaye, pshitali, it's obvious to me that a yodo shel adam, that a person's hand is ain't like rishus rabim or like rishus yochid, is not considered neither like rishus rabim nor like rishus yochid. Rishus rabim lo damya. How do we know that? From our Mishnah. From the case of miyada da'ani, we learned in our Mishnah that if the ani who's standing in the rishus rabim puts his hand that's full into rishus hayochid, and the Baal Bayis takes out something from the ani's hand, it's not considered as if you took something from the rishus rabim. I, the ani, is standing in the rishus rabim. Just because he's standing in the rishus rabim doesn't mean that his hand is considered as if it's in the rishus rabim. Similarly, the hand is not considered rishus hayochid loy damya miyada the Baal Bayis from the case of the hand of the Baal Bayis. Because we learned, if the Baal Bayis is standing in Shusha Yochid, and he puts out his hand to the Shusha Rabim, and the Ani takes something out of the hand, it's not considered as if he took something out of Shusha Yochid, even though the Baal Bayis is standing in Shusha Yochid. The hand is not considered to be in the same Rishus as the person is, automatically. However, Boya Baya, Yodah Shal Adam Mashu Tasuk Karmas, Can we consider it like a caramelus? That means, mi kansur rabbonu l'adur l'gabei, did Chazal say that if you took something and put it and you had it in your hand, and you're standing in Rishus HaYochid, and you stick your hand into the Rishus HaRabim, will that be considered that it's as if your hand is a caramelus? And the halacha is the midrabbonon, as we discussed in our previous year, a karmelus is a rishus de rabbanon from which you may not carry neither to rishus hayochid nor to rishus rabbim, and therefore the halacha will be you won't be able to take what's in your hand. I'm standing in a rishus hayochid and I stick my hand out to rishus rabbim and there's something in my hand. Will I be able to bring it back to my rishus or not? Mikan su rabbanon l'adar l'gabei. May I bring it back, Eloi? And the way the Rishonim explain this Gemara is your hand doesn't become a caramelus. What Rashi says the Gemara's question means was Chazal wanted to say that if you stuck your hand, you standing Rosh Hashanah Yochid, and you stick your hand, you stick out your hand with something in it to the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you shouldn't be able to bring it back. But they had to frame it in a way that's consistent with Hilchos Shabbos. And how were they able to frame it in a way that's consistent with Hilchos Shabbos? By saying that your hand is considered a karmelus. What's the halacha? Says the Gemara Toshima. Hois yadam alei peris, if your hand was full of fruit, v'tzil l'chutz, and you're standing in Shusha Yochid, and then you stick it out into the Shusha Rabbim, tani chodo, one brisa teaches us, also l'achziru, you may not bring it back into the Shusha Yochid, v'tani idach, another brisa says, muta l'achziru, you may retract it back to the Shusha Yochid. My love, how do we understand this contradiction between the two brises? Balkamifli, the masover karmelus damya, and therefore you may not bring it back. Or masover, and the other mandom holds, lafka karmelus damya, and you can bring it back. Says Umar, it isn't a compelling proof. Because loy, the kulamka karmelus damya, everybody could perhaps agree that your hand under such circumstances is considered like a karmelus. Vloy kasha, so how do we reconcile the two brises? Kalamata asara, where your hand was below 10 tefachim, kalamalam asara. Because the halacha is that a shus harabim never goes above 10 tefachim. So when your hand is above 10 tefachim, so it's a makom patur. So as all the Rishonim point out, certainly you're not allowed to do it. You're not allowed to stand in Rosh Hashanah Yochid and stick your hand out into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, even if you're sticking your hand above 10 tefachim, which is not a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. But you may end up in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so you shouldn't do it. But where the Chazal make a gzeira that you can't bring it back? Only when your hand was below 10 tefachim. Because since your hand was below 10 tefachim, you were in a place where you, if you dropped it, you could end up with a melacha daraisa. Whereas if your hand was above 10 tefachim, although, as we just said, you certainly should have never done it, so far Chazal didn't go to make a gzeira. Vibay Seima, another way of reconciling the brises, idivi l'matamasoro, both cases where your hand is below 10 tefachim. And everybody will agree that's lav kakam l'stami. V'loy kasha, where is a mutter, where is asur? Where you did a miboy join, where you stuck out your hand during the day, so you didn't do anything wrong. So Chazal let you bring your hand back in. Kan mechshechev, if you did it after Shabbos, then Chazal don't let you, which is something, as we just discussed, you shouldn't have done. Mibayoyim, loikon sur rabbanon, if you stuck out your hand during the day, Chazal say you could bring it back. Mechashecha, but if you did it after Shabbos began, kan sur rabbanon. So ask the Gemara, adirabba, we can make a contrary argument. Epcha mistabra, mibayoyim, if you stuck out your hand by day. So in such a situation, so that Kira was done before Shabbos. So ish shadilei, if you'll drop the object into the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you still won't be chayav achatas. Because as we keep on repeating, you can't be chayav haitzah unless there was both an akira and an hanocha. Here is only a hanocha. So loy oslo dei chayav achatas, so liknas a rabbanon. Because Chazal don't need to be concerned that you could end up with chil Shabbos daraisa. However, if you stuck out your hand after Shabbos began, mishech shecha, and now your hand is in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and if you will drop it, chas v'sholem, that object, you'll be chayiv chatos, you'll be chayiv for chil Shabbos, the shadilei osbe l'day chayiv chatos, then loylekin sur rabbanim, Chazal shall let you go to avoid, chas v'sholem, chil Shabbos daraisa. Says the Gemara, mid loy kamashin and hocha, the fact that the Gemara did not take this approach, tifshad Rabbi Birbaya, this should maybe answer a different question. The Bayer Rabbi Birbaya, hidbik pas batana, somebody attached dough to an oven. So to be chayiv for baking on Shabbos, you have to have the food baked. But there's another isser. The isser is to take dough out of the oven. It's considered redias apas, and we're going to learn is a isser derabbanan. And he asked the question, somebody put dough in the oven and the clock is ticking because if it's going to get baked, you're going to be chayiv chatas. The question is, did Chazal allow us to take out that dough before Shabbos or lo yatira? Or did they not? So from here, we'll chayish rav araya, tifshad lo yatiru. Chazal said something is asur, it's asur, even though the repercussions of the gzeira may come to Chilul Shabbos. Says the Mar Halakasha. So that's not a question of a tifshit. V'bayseima loyalam loy tifshit. We don't have an answer to Rabibi's question. V'loy kasha. Kam b'shogi, where the person stuck out his hand is talking about that he did it b'Shabbos, kam b'mezit. B'shogig, if you did a b'shogig, like in Sur Rabbonim, Chazal didn't tell you that Chazal allowed you to bring it back because you didn't do anything deliberately wrong. B'mezid, in Sur Rabbonim. If you'd stuck it out deliberately, you shouldn't have done it, as we keep on repeating. Chazal punish you that you have to keep your hand stuck out like that the whole Shabbos. B'bayis eime idivi b'shogig, that it's referring to you did it b'shogig. V'hocha, the question is, b'conscious shogig ato mezik ha-mifgi. The question is that Chazal, when they make a gzeira, not differentiate between shogig and mezit. In other words, the way the Rishonim explained the Gemara. Certainly Chazal only made the gzeira because of a mezit. The question is, when Chazal make a gzeira, do they, once they made the gzeira because of mezit, also apply it to shogig? Ma'asava kanshu shogig ato mezit, or ma'asava loy kanshu shogig ato mezit. V'yayasem loy kanshu. They never made a gzeira. V'loy kasha. When can you bring it back? If you're bringing it back, l'oysa chotzer that you started off with. Kan l'chotzer cheris. But if you want to take it to a different chotzer, so you're benefiting from this act of transfer, Chazal were machmer. K'deboi minei rovim rav nachman. Hoysi yodam malei peris v'yitzi l'chotz. Your hand had fruit in it, and you stuck it out from the Shusayok to Shusarabim. Malach zir l'oysa chotzer. Can you bring it back to where you were? Amalei mutter. L'chotzer cheris. To a different chotzer, amalei osur. Amayshnos, why is this mutter and this osur? So he said, l'chitechel l'kura de milcha. What he meant to say is, even if you ate a whole car of salt, which salt they believed made the person more intelligent, you would never be able to teach us the difference. But I'm going to tell you the difference. Hosom lois avdemachshaftoi. When I took the pears out of my chotzer, I wanted them out of this chotzer. So if I bring it back to my chotzer, my intention wasn't fulfilled, and therefore Chazal weren't machmer. But whereas if I take it to a different chotzer, my intention was fulfilled. And that's why Chazal made a gzeira that you shouldn't be able to take it to a different chotzer. And that's why Chazal were more machmer.